in Shaila's room, which I am not qualified to do, but Ba'or Elei Tamayinu, to maybe just that we should be sensitized to certain situations and scenarios where we need to ask Shaila's. The topic reminds me of an insight, not a strict parallel, but an insight that the Valva once had in terms of, he said, few people know Hilchos Shabbos. He says, even fewer people know Hilchos Yom Tov, and even fewer people know Hilchos Chol Hamoed. What's the point? The point is that when the more heterim there are, so then the more challenging and the more difficult it is, not to overstep one's bounds in those heterim. So in other contexts and in life, in most contexts in life, so we know that you don't talk Lashon Hara, so hopefully we're on guard against it. In chinuch settings, there certainly are situations where, again, what is otherwise would be deemed Lashon Hara is something that needs to be shared. So because of that, there's a tendency sometimes to drop our guard and not be as much, not to be as much on guard against it. Presumably, so let's begin as follows. One situation which is almost always going to be little Alex and the Tachlis is when a teacher is reporting to the Menahel. Whether he's reporting to the Menahel because certainly at your stage of life, most likely the Menahel is more experienced in dealing with discipline problems and other types of problems which which surface, whether it's reporting to the Menahel because there are school policies in how things have to be dealt with, whether it's reporting to the Menahel because the Menahel is the one who ultimately interacts with the parents. So in almost all cases, that's certainly going to be mutter. I don't know that one has to run to the Menahel, nor do I know that the Menahel would want you to run to him every time one kid doesn't do his homework for the first time. I don't know that necessarily warrants it, but certainly, big adol, as they say, that's something which seems, again, on the whole, to be very much tachlis. The problematic scenarios are, let's say when you have a large faculty meetings, and clearly, well, it will often be the case that there are people in the room for whom, let's say, all the eighth grade teachers are in the room, and there's a faculty meeting with the principal. And issues with students are being discussed. So I happen to have a student, he's in my share, but there are people in the room who don't teach him, who don't have him as a student. It's again, I'm not asking anything. It's not clear that the efficiency of having such a meeting, having all the teachers of a certain grade, and our office come with many grades in the same room at the same time, it's not clear that efficiency serves as a heter for me to be talking about a Talmud when I know that there are people in the room for whom it's not relevant. It's not even so posher, this that I choose. Zeom at the chol, zeom at the chol. But it's not even so posher to have, when you have to, let's say you're writing a letter to parents. So just for the convenience of not having to type the letter yourself, whether or not that's a tachlis to be able to delegate the typing, so I'll tell my secretary to write a letter to Mr. and Mrs. Pony that your son Almoni has been doing such and such and such and such and such and such and so the secretary is not, she's not going to play a constructive role in trying to reverse things here. Yeah. So it's also, I get a lot of, again, yeah, there are truths on this, but not all of them on the same side of the issue. Also not so much of another thing which is natural, but probably something that we should be on guard against, is let's say someone just had a very trying morning in teaching in the classroom, and is coming into the teacher's room for lunch, and is naturally inclined to vent, and begins venting, either mentioning the Talmud by name, or it's not mentioning the Talmud by name, but it's probably there are enough identifying pieces of information that it can be figured out. So it's true that the Chafetz Chaim has enough as Chafetz Chaim. He has it as a suffix. The Pasha says that the meaning is to assume the kula on this. Let's say when someone goes to therapy. They go to therapy and they talk about problems they have with their father, their mother, their son, their brother, their sister, or whatever. So what's the heter for doing that? So let me see, the Chafetz Chaim says it's a tzarach iyum. I think we take for granted that the many gets to assume that it's mutter, that if the venting is going to be therapeutic on some level for that person, that it is mutter. That it is mutter. The Pashto says, it doesn't mean that even that side of the Chafetz Chaim, which we assume the Kula, doesn't mean that, okay, so every time someone, people, we are sufficiently petty, that Lamaisa, every time someone annoys us, there's a certain relief that we'll get from being able to vent that. No, a certain amount. The person is supposed to be able to gather. People are supposed to swallow and not say anything. We're talking about that heter of venting, that's considered a tachlis, is when it rises to a level. Let's say it's something that a person would need therapy for, so something like that. But just because I had a hard morning and there's one kid who is very chutzpahdik or very stubborn or whatever it was, that much a person is supposed to swallow and is supposed to be misguided. Maybe one or two other just in the same vein as La'ora Lecha Ma'ayim. As much as possible, a Rebbe tries to reach every Talmud. Obviously, every one of us sort of has their own temperament, and it's easier for us to relate to some Talmud than to others. It's just naturally the way it is, the same way that you look around in any crowd, so you know, temperamentally, oh, I mesh better with that person than I do with the other person. And obviously, the same thing is true in a classroom setting as well. There is some Talmud that the Rebbe's personality and the Rebbe's style is a better fit than with other Tommy there. And again, so we try as much as possible to be Ms. Gavina. We try as much as possible not to let the fact that, oh, I don't go in for his personality because of any of my jokes. So we try as much as possible not to be you or not. No, we try as much as possible not to. Just joking. we try as much as possible. Not to let those things interfere. But the mice, as I say in Eretz Yisrael, you know, ha-batsui ba-ha-batsui, a person has to try to distinguish between when he really knows for a fact that a child is a difficult child, is a stubborn child, and whatever that may entail in terms of tachlis, in terms of telling next year's teacher, next year's Rebbe, who's going to have to deal with that child. And a person has to really make a chesed on that fish and ask himself, you know, how much of that possible needs to be discounted? You know, maybe I didn't bring up the best in this child, because I'm aware of the fact that the truth is that our personalities don't blend so well. So again, often the Menahel will be able to help the Rebbe sort it out. Maybe the Menahel will also be able to say there's a track record, and you know, in past years, you're right, the time hasn't been a problem, so maybe this is part of it. In past years, it has been a problem with a whole different array of rebellion, so then it's not you, that there is an issue here, that we need to alert next year's Rebbe to. It's very important to be aware of that. And then one last, again, this is as much sort of a sensitivity in chinuch, but it spills over to the intersection between chinuch and Moshe Hara. The first thing a Rebbe is supposed to do whenever there's any significant problem with a Talmud, again, not doing homework at once, but anytime there's a significant problem surfacing with a Talmud, is to try to find out if there's a broader context, to find out if what the family life is like. Is he from a well-functioning family? Is he from a dysfunctional family? Is there some kind of trauma that the family has undergone or is undergoing? Is there a sickness in the family? That before we ever rush to judgment, and again, in whatever Lashon Hara that may entail as well, we have to find out, is there a broader context to what's going on? Okay, so those are just some of the things that will come to mind.
Any times I find that it's unclear when Lashon Hara is the toelas or not, because sometimes it's not so directly clear what the toelas is, but sometimes, like, especially in the context of a place like Etzius Waikola, when the Madrikim are constantly interacting and speaking about different guys that like somebody might bring up to somebody else, something happened to this guy's doing X, Y, and Z, and you don't know necessarily if that's direct, if there's going to be a toelas that's going to come out of it, but the fact that many Madrikim are aware of what's going on, and anyone has different people have different types of relationships with guys, so that can then, the fact that people are alert and that they're aware of what's going on, so can allow them to potentially address it properly. So when you're giving over the information, you don't necessarily know, it's like it's a subject to us almost, because you don't really know if it's necessarily going to lead to us, but it definitely has the potential to. So
so again, in the lower layer mind category, I think you can. There are different routes to get to the same spot, but one route to get there is as follows. seems clear that the pshat is as follows. It's a good question to ask ourselves, what simple lashon hara for the middle days? Where else should it be? That's not a good answer. The Rambam was ingenious enough to... And if it doesn't belong there naturally, so he would have explained why it's there. The way he tells us why the God is a couple of other Zara, and the way he comments on Hilchos Avel. When something wasn't, when the Rambam's organization wasn't straightforward, so he explained it. He explains it to us. So obviously this is a natural fit. So the fact is that the Lashon Hara basically is a Hilchos Deus, that be a history in the sense that it's not, that the Hagdara of the Isser is not speech which contains negative information. It's to disparage someone. So if I say so-and-so is a troublemaker, and I'm saying that lo to'elas, I'm disparaging him. If I say so-and-so is a troublemaker, and I'm doing that to try to get his parents to recognize the problem and do something about it, b'chulu, that's not an exception to the rule. It's not Lashon Hara l'tzaltz. It's not Lashon Hara. The definition of Lashon Hara is to disparage something. It's a Hilchos Deus l'idea issur. It's the Deya, which is, okay, so what if I didn't say in the Mucha, so it's the definition objectively, and there's no Toela, so that's what it is objectively. That's why the other thing which is so amazing. When you look in Parizayim and Deus, that's the place the Rambam talks about Hilchos Lashon Hara. There's something which is staggered, but it's missing. The Rambam doesn't talk about the Issa to be the capital or going to the Chaim, even Bishomei Lashon Hara. He mentions it Derech Agav in saying that there's Lashon Hara, there's a Masapa, there's a Mekabel, the person that the Lashon Hara said about. So, the back door, through the window, and then in the back porch, it gets mentioned. But the Isser is only in the Sanhedrin. And the Sis Hashem Hashem, together with the Isser of hearing the tightness of one Baldin when the other Baldin is not there. So that's where the Rambam has the Isser of Shomei, of Kabbalah Lashon Hara. So how can that be? This is the Parag of Lashon Hara. The Tanya says no, because there's a fundamental difference between being Shomei or Mekabel versus being Mesaper. Being Mesaper, where you're initiating it, that's like the Hilchos Deus L'Geisa. I'm sitting innocently eating lunch, and I hear, and then I believe Lashon Hara. Well, dafka, but that's not a Hilchos Deus L'Geisa. So it doesn't belong in Hilchos Deus. Hamur mikol ha'omor, the Chara, it should be poshut. Again, you have to ask Hashem about the Maisa. It should be poshut that if there's a reasonable sophic, that it's not a subject that I saw that maybe this is only Lashon Hara and not Lashon Hara the Toalas. No. when there's a subject Toalas, again, it's one in a million, that's not a subject. You have to know what the boundaries of subject are. But whatever the boundaries of subject are, so that's not disparaging. And you talk, and that's why the Rambam, another one of the things is that the Rambam doesn't give the Chofetz Chaim Seteru. You don't find in the Rambam that he gives, that he even formulates. Because the Tzaddik says, they're not Heterim. It's not the Issur. The Rambam doesn't tell you that. It's good to take a deep breath and Shabbos. Which of the Rambam does my office, what would you have found implies that it's also. There are other ways of getting to this. But if it's a reasonable,